This is All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. In the 1980s, federal prosecutors going after mob-controlled labor unions investigated a series of dealings between organized crime and real estate developers in the New York and New Jersey area. One developer they were particularly interested in was singularly uncooperative in discussing what appeared to be sweetheart deals with the mob. That developer was Donald Trump. A former federal prosecutor who was involved in the investigation says the now Republican candidate for president has continued to enjoy a comfortable relationship with organized crime with unexpected benefits overseas. Attorney Kenneth McCallion has recently released a new book, The Essential Guide to Donald Trump, and he joins us now. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks a lot, Jamie, for having me.
So you were part of the Justice Department's prosecution of organized crime in the 1980s, and you served as lead attorney in several key cases involving Donald Trump. What can you tell us about his dealings with the mob, if any?
Well, his major dealings with the construction of Trump Tower and Trump Plaza in Manhattan was that he made a sweetheart deal with Local 282 of the Teamsters and its president, John Cody, whereby he bought labor peace and also got a guarantee that they would break up strikes for minority workers who might be picketing the site. In return for that, the Teamsters got to designate non-working Teamster foremen, in other words, no-show jobs, and their salaries would go directly to various organized crime organizations. In addition, Donald Trump made a contract with CNA Concrete, which was owned by Tony Salerno, also known as Fat Tony Salerno, at the time, and they inflated the price for the concrete for the foundation of Trump Tower by about $8 million, so that would go directly to the mob as well. Trump was an equal opportunity dealer with organized crime, both Genovese, Bonanno, and other crime families. All of these deals were negotiated through Roy Cohen, who was his lawyer and mentor and godfather. Roy Cohen also negotiated a deal whereby the second largest apartment in Trump Tower went to Verena Hickson, who was a girlfriend, lady friend of a couple mob figures. And in fact, Donald Trump modified the construction of the building to accommodate a triplex and an indoor swimming pool. That apartment, I believe, still remains today directly below Donald Trump's.
This is just unbelievable. How come we're not hearing more about this?
Well, this was back in the 80s. I could talk about more recent organized crime as well. But back in the 80s, the focus was on organized crime infiltration of the unions and of the construction trades, and we were successful with those prosecutions. A number went to jail, but I was a young prosecutor at the time for reasons best known to others in the Justice Department, even though Donald Trump lied to law enforcement about his relationship, and lying to federal agents is a federal crime. He basically got a pass at that point.
So he did not cooperate?
He did not.
But he was not prosecuted for not cooperating.
That's correct. We did get the cooperation of some other real estate developers, which led to the conviction of these organized crime figures. But it would have been a whole lot easier if Donald Trump had cooperated. In fact, after we indicted them, at least the Teamster leaders, they called a citywide strike. But there were two job sites they exempted from that. One was Trump Tower and the other was Trump Plaza. But also Roy Cohen also introduced Donald Trump to really Russian organized crime and Russian financiers, and Donald continued that relationship after the demise of Roy Cohen. In fact, very close to here, the Trump Soho was largely financed with Russian money,
which is one block from here, still standing, no longer owned by the Trump family.
Correct.
But you say financed by the Russians.
Yeah, it was all Russian money. People very close to Vladimir Putin, Felix Sater, the Saper organization. Most of the money came from either Russia directly, the oligarchs who wanted to launder money through New York, obviously, but also from the former Soviet Republic of Georgia and from Kazakhstan. And the reason why Trump gravitated to the Russian money, which really keeps his real estate empire afloat, was that after four bankruptcies in Atlantic City and elsewhere, traditional funding sources, such as the major banks in the U.S., once burned, twice shy, they wouldn't loan any money. And he has, through his major advisors, Paul Manafort, Boris Epstein, and others, really gravitated. He's attracted various pro-Russian apologists who have worked very closely with the Russian business, and you don't operate major Russian business operations without permission of the Kremlin.
Kenneth McCallion is an attorney in New York City and Westchester. He's also a former federal prosecutor and author of the new book, The Essential Guide to Donald Trump. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Jamie.